This week we start week number 4 of our Back to the Basics sermon series. This week our focus is going to be on discipleship, and so excited to be able to have this opportunity to speak to you, and then we can learn as a family a little bit more about discipleship and kind of what that means for us as individuals and also as a church. So when church was in the early stages, it was more than just a building. Because at the time, they didn't really have buildings. Early believers met in houses. And really the first, I would say, formal church came into existence around the 200 range of years. And it was an opportunity for them to be together in those church families. So when we look at scripture, when they talk about house churches or ecclesia, they're actually talking about in their homes and having that time together and that relationship together in that way. See, when they got together for their worship service, it was more than just getting together like this. They were discipling one another. And at most times, it was the one and only time that they actually were able to read scripture together. Because, you know, in today's age, we have this great thing called a Bible, and all the books are compiled into one place. And at the time, there was no possibility of that. Even the Old Testament was rare to see a copy of it. So the people that came to the house and they met in fellowship, they had snippets. They had parts of Scripture. And then they may have the letter that Paul sent, but they did not have a completed book like us today. So it was a little different. But when they got together, their focus was on Jesus. Their focus was purposeful. And their time was meaningful of what it meant to gather together in home churches to minister to one another and disciple one another in that way. See, we see the New Testament, we see the Old Testament as a collection of books, but they would have not ever seen that. They would have had those moments that they're reading scripture together, but for them, they would have said it had been a great letter from Paul or reading Old Testament Torah. So their discipleship looked a little different than what ours may today. But their time together was meant to encourage one another, fellowship with one another, and pray over one another through whatever trials are going on at that time. And we know that the trials were many in the early church. Well, I think the same thing goes for us today in our Christian world, in our Christian church, that we are meant to be fellowshipping together, reading scripture together, encouraging one another when there's trials that we're going through, but together, discipling one another with scripture, with prayer, and with fellowship. See, it was that time that they met together in their home churches that they reminded each other of what it meant to serve Jesus Christ. And who he was, and why that was important. And it was in those moments that those group of people just fellowshiped together and were grateful for that relationship time to be discipling one another. Because they were understanding this integration of what it meant to not only choose him as their Lord and Savior, but what it meant to truly be in his life, be his body as the church. I want to read a few quotes, and they're from some people you might know or recognize at least. You may not know them personally because they're quite old. But you might recognize them if you hear their names. The first is George Washington, our first president. I'm sure most of you don't know him personally, but we know of him. But there are a few. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. What about Abraham Lincoln? Oh, honest Abe, 16th president. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. A.W. Tozer once said, "The world of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages of the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. Mark Twain. Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me the most are those I completely understand. Or maybe lastly here, Billy Graham. The word of God is hidden in the heart in a stubborn voice to suppress. It is a stubborn voice to suppress. See, today we're going to be talking about discipleship. And that was just my little intro to it to get you ready for what we're going to be talking about, prepared for what we're going to be talking about, and hopefully excited about what we're going to be talking about. So look at today. We look at the first part is the Great Commission. If you're a fill-in-the-blank person, it's in your bulletin. And this comes in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The Great Commission. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age." Now, some of you may have just said, "Wait a minute, Teddy. That verse is about evangelism." And yes, you're right. Most of us grab onto the "go to all nations." And that, you are correct, is evangelistic. Go to all nations. But don't forget and discount the one very specific part in there, the commission of what Christ calls us to. Make disciples. So now on the go to all nations, we may, spoiler alert, come back to that next week and be more emphatic on what it means to go to all nations. But today, let's really focus in on what it means to disciple, to make disciples, and what that looks like. See, in years prior to Jesus and the Great Commission and his Great Commission, Jesus taught about love of the Father and how man should love God. And this is in return because he loves you. See, we love him because he first loved us. And so Jesus taught that very clearly throughout Scripture. He spoke of the way we are versus how God intends us and shows us we should be. He spoke of many more things relating to the way we should walk with God and our fellow man. He was very clear in his teaching and his preaching time with us that he says, be with God, follow his ways, and love your neighbor. Love your fellow man. Love your brother. He was very specific in his teaching. Now, if you tie this into our Back to the Basics series of what it means to love one another, love God, we have to go back to Acts 2, 41 through 44, as we have been every week. So let's read that scripture again and see why it's so important to us today. Acts 2, 41 through 44. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. See, this discipleship, this Great Commission, there is a very emphatic moment in there that it says, go and to all nations. But don't forget that it's so important that it is to make disciples as well. It's not just go out and preach the word of God and hope it all works out. It's go make disciples. Because that's how they're going to understand what it means to love God as he loves you. And for them to understand that God loves them and how to live in a relationship to him. Because Jesus was very clear. Come, follow me. Not just know who I am. Not just know my name. Not just come to me because I can perform miracles. But follow me. And that part is where we miss sometimes in discipleship. That our point is to encourage one another, disciple one another, and love one another in those moments. So New Testament Christians versus Christians today. There is an abundance of educational opportunities for us today. Abundance. We have all kinds of seminars, classes, and even our church. So we have some really great ministries here at our church. We have Sunday school. We have classes for youth, for our teenagers. We have classes for our young adults. We have classes for married. We have classes for women, classes for men. We have classes about doctrine. We have classes about reading through scripture. We have vocation Bible school. We have all kinds of different programs to assist us in discipleship. But now that is a stark difference from what it means to be an early church Christian, of what it meant to be in the moment with Christ. They didn't have all the programs. And sometimes we take it for granted of how much opportunities we have for the different classes, the different moments that we can be taught by our brothers and sisters, be encouraged by our brothers and sisters, pray with our brothers and sisters. See, theirs was a little more less formalized than what ours is. Now, I'm not saying that we scrap everything we're doing and let's go back out to the wilderness or let's go to the local park and forget all we're doing because we're doing some really great things. No, we just don't take it for granted. That's what I really want you to understand from that statement. Don't take it for granted that we have all these great opportunities for us to learn, that we were born in a free nation, a nation that allows us to pray openly, go to church willingly, without hesitation. We don't have armed guards at the street telling us we can't come in here. We're not arrested because we come to church. We are lucky, and let's not take it for granted. Because it is important that we gather together to not only teach, but to learn from one another, be encouraged by one another, and fellowship with one another. See, when you really look at it, these programs are not bad at all. It's just different than what the early church did. Not bad. It's good. And there's reasons for it. But now the early church was very specific. They gathered together. They read scripture together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They encouraged one another. They had great moments together. So when we look at our Sunday school program, we look at our different classes, we look at our different opportunities to fellowship, teach one another, go to time together, then those moments should be impactful to us, should be meaningful to us, should be great with one another. See, most of these programs are just fantastic and good. And even though the disciples had none of them, they flourished, leaps and bounds, adding thousands to their numbers on a regular basis. Many times Jesus taught informally, public settings. He even taught from homes. He even taught from a boat. He taught from a mountainside. Even walking down the road. So don't forsake the moments of life together and remembering that discipleship happens there too. Not just on Sunday morning, not just in Sunday school, not just in our classes together throughout the week. But discipleship happens every day, in and out. All day, every day, in and out. It's the way we live our life. It's the way we encourage one another. It's the way we reach out and text with one another. Hey, how are you doing today? Praying for you. Anything I can pray specifically for you? It's moments like that that we live our life, that we become disciplers because we're encouraging one another, fellowshipping one another, taking an interest in one another. Now, I just want to take a quick pause and think about that Jesus teaching on a boat. Now, I love that model. I love the idea of it. And I wouldn't be against if our church wanted to buy the pastor a boat and I could teach on it. Like, we have this great lake right here. But I digress. That was a side note. Sorry, squirrel moment that happened. I was thinking about teaching on a boat, and I'm thinking, wow, if I really had a boat, that'd be great. But I don't. Sorry. See, we shouldn't throw out all these great programs just because the early church didn't have them. Because they're fantastic. If you're in a Sunday school and you're learning something new, that's more than you knew before. It's a great time to be taught and for us to learn together and be encouraged by one another. But don't forsake what it means to live out discipleship in the nitty-gritty of life. See, in those trench moments that we're struggling, that we need encouragement, it's those moments that we need to be discipled. It's those moments that we need a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside of us, to encourage us, to guide us, to direct us, to lift us up so that we can be encouraged about who he is, not just sit in our filth, sit in our bad moments of those nitty-gritty times where it's going to be struggling. And those nitty-gritty moments that we're going to struggle hard. That text coming in out of the blue of saying, how's it going? How can I pray for you? May change the course of your day. But we have to be willing. We have to be encouraged in those moments. Sorry. We have to be encouraged in those moments because that's what they're meant to do. But you also have to be willing to reach out to your fellow brothers and sisters in those moments. You cannot accomplish what it fully means to be a disciple and to disciple others without those moments of community and fellowship and encouraging one another through his word and through prayer. This doesn't purely happen just in a classroom environment. It happens throughout life, day in, day out, in the nitty-gritty of life. See, there's benefit and cost to what it means to discipleship. We're talking about the benefit first. See, the benefit of discipleship is this. We have the great advantage of having the whole Bible, the whole piece of Scripture at our fingertips. And I mean literal fingertips. In each one of our phones, we can download an app. Or we can carry around our Bible. Or some of us can get a really big Bible and carry it around because we really want to have a big Bible. There's pocket-sized Bibles. There's little pocket-sized New Testaments that fit right here in your shirt pocket. It's all around us and it's completely available to us. And that is a great benefit to us. We aren't on our own to figure it out. So we not only have the fullness of Scripture, but we have each other, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A great benefit to discipleship is that we can encourage one another, grow with one another in what it means to live out our lives for Christ, with Christ. But it takes us being together. It takes us understanding that Scripture is important. It takes us understanding that The classroom is a great facilitator of discipleship. But that is more than that. The benefit is that we get to spend life together. Now, some of you, it may feel like a sentence, but it really is time together and fellowship and great moments that we get to encourage one another and guide one another and direct one another. See, here's a truth of it. We don't actually have all the answers either. I know. Sometimes we all want to be the smartest man or woman in the room, but rarely are we. But if we have Scripture and we can pray to Him and we can be encouraged by our fellow believers, there's nothing we can do that we can't do together. Because He is the one guiding and directing us and encouraging us to do so, to build us up in His faith and in His truth. And so if you were to turn your Bibles to Colossians 3, 15 through 16, Colossians 3, 15 through 16, that's a piece of scripture I'm going to read real quick. Because the reality is that you have to understand is that we don't have all the answers. It really is about Him and the way He guides and directs us and encourages us. So Colossians 3:15 reads this, "And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." See, among believers, we need to be speaking about practical issues in our lives, because that's how we encourage one another. We can't just read Scripture. We have to actually see what's going on in our lives too. We have to ask the hard questions, and we have to ask them to one another about what those questions are. And how we are encouraged is through those moments that we read Scripture together, pray together, and work through it. See, it's more than just knowing Scripture. It's more than just understanding and following Jesus and having that understanding. Those theological issues are something that we can grasp and understand. But what about just living out life? What about the moments have you ever been asked that I'm having trouble controlling my temper? How do I deal with that? See, those questions happen in our discipleship moments and those moments of fellowshipping one another and encouraging one another. And we can go to Scripture and to prayer for that answer. What about, I think God is calling me to change my vocation, but I'm afraid. How do I know if this is God moving and not my own desires? What about that question? What about processing it with one another? What about encouraging one another? How do I die to self when I'm continually bombarded with lustful thoughts? How can I encourage my spouse, friend, or coworker toward a deeper walk with Jesus? See, these are questions that we, most of us, would have. So we have to go beyond just the classroom moments, beyond just teaching Scripture, that we have to have relational times together and encouraging one another and guiding one another and helping each other to improve. And again, we're not going to have the answers to these questions typically on the tip of our tongue. We're going to have to pray together. We're going to have to read Scripture together. And we're going to have to come to an understanding together in that way. But there's always a cost, isn't there? There's a cost of discipleship. See, this style of discipleship, more than just our being discipled by Christ, it's relational. We have to invite people into our journey. So just like we talked about last week in community, there's a investment. There's an emotional investment. There's an accountability investment to bringing people into your relationship and what it means to disciple one another. We have to take our time and our efforts and give them away freely. Because most of the time, someone in your Sunday school class, if you open yourself up to that relationship, is going to need you at the least opportune moments. It's not when you're sitting at home like, you know, I have free time right now. I really hope someone texts me. It's going to be where, like, I have five things to get done today, and you're going to get a text like, today's a really bad day. What are you going to do with those moments? Because discipleship would say that you would encourage that brother or sister in Christ and find way. Or at least establish time to do that. So the cost is your time, your efforts. Being vulnerable. Being willing to be in an accountability relationship. But the benefit far outweigh the cost. The benefits of studying together, understanding one another, come to a rational, reasonable understanding of Scripture for questions that we are struggling with. That's what it means to be together. See, if you look at last week's community, when we talked about the idea of accountability and how that's a struggle, it really is. And discipleship can improve those matters. That we can see as a cost-benefit analysis. And we can see that, yes, there's a cost, but the benefit far outweighs the cost. What about doctrine versus discipleship? So we build up one another because of truth. And that truth requires knowledge and the understanding of truth. But it's more than just regurgitating knowledge. I mean, if you're really good, the youth group a few weeks ago watched a little video clip that this guy could recite all the books of the Bible, like, in one breath. Like, he took a deep breath and he did all, regurgitated right in front of us. That's pretty cool. But was that something to value? Was that something for us to encourage us, to guide us, to direct us, to improve upon our lives? I don't know. But it's more than just having knowledge of who Jesus is. Because you're like, I can really know who Jesus is. He's told me. I believe I know him. But do you know him? Do you put your full trust in him? Do you put everything you are in him? See, it's more than getting an A on a doctrine quiz. You know what I'm talking about. Do you know what salvation is? Check mark. Do you know what sanctification is? Check mark. It's more than getting an A on a quiz. It's about having a grasp and understanding of that to encourage and better our lives of what it means to further follow Jesus Christ. It's way more than just a quiz. The goal is not that A, although an A does feel good. It's not enough to just know truth. We have to live truth. And that happens together. That happening, sharpening one another, improving one another, because we are studying Scripture and praying together. Jesus taught humility, submission, obedience, and that faith comes from agape love. He didn't just use words. He lived in relationships. He showed by the way he walked his life. He encouraged people by the way he walked and talked the same way. And that's what he's asking us to do in discipleship. To not only say the right things, but live it out as well. To be encouraged by one another. To live out life together. Slide was in there, sorry. So let's look at discipleship. So we wrap up here and we'll close out our sermon time. Discipleship is believers daily building each other up in Christ, encouraging each other, warning each other, praying for each other, showing love to each other, humbly serving each other, during the week, not just on Sundays. Discipleship is about our following and becoming like Christ. See, discipleship happens in community, in togetherness. I cannot disciple myself. I disciple in community. I am not a community by myself. Community and the building is building that horizontal relationship of what it means to be in relationship with others, encouraging one another, growing in one another, impacting one another. Followers of Jesus are not just knowers of truth, but the doers of truth, living it out with one another. But as I told you earlier, discipleship comes at a cost too. Are you willing to let others be a part of your walk, of your life, of what it means to be in Jesus? Are you willing to let them in, to have that discipleship relationship with one another? Are you willing to be the part of their spiritual growth, to encourage them, to guide them, to correct them, to become stronger in their walk with Jesus? Are you willing in those moments? Discipleship is what we are here to make disciples and encourage one another. At Banner, we have all kinds of programs. Banner Kid, Banner Youth, Banner United, men's group, women's group, Sunday school, other small groups. We have many great programs going on for discipleship. You know, our average for Sunday school is so high. We average 111 people attend our Sunday school, and our average attendance was 167. Majority of churches nationwide are under 50% for Sunday school attendance. We crush it because we're seeing how important it is for discipleship. And so if you heard those numbers and you're like, wow, I didn't really know. Maybe it's because you're not plugged into a discipleship program, part of our small groups program, part of our Sunday schools. We have many to choose from. There's even a list for you to choose from. So I want to encourage you, if you're not part of the 111 that are attending our Sunday school right now, get involved. Raise your hand. Ask somebody. And get involved. It sometimes takes a willingness to invest in people more than just the moment, more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It takes your willingness to invest in people and have them invest in you. That's what it means for discipleship. So let's be people that are willing to be discipled and to disciple others. So let me pray over this closing of the sermon time, and we'll go into our next part of this service. Father, thank you for the way you encourage us, the way you guide us, the way you direct us. Father, grateful for the way that your message came together today, that to encourage us through discipleship. Father, may we see the need and see the importance and be encouraged the way that you are rising up your church to do such things. Because, Father, we do it in your name, and we seek it all for you so that you can receive all the glory and honor from your people being discipled well. Father, we're encouraged by you, guided by you, and directed by you. And say this in Jesus' name. Amen.